You know, when it comes to wireless carriers, sometimes what you see isn't always what you get, except with Visible. With Visible, what you see is exactly what you get. If you haven't heard of Visible, well, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. With Visible, there are no hidden fees, no fine print, no hassle, nothing to hide. It's just $25 a month, all taxes and fees included. And you don't need more than one line of wireless to save. You can save on a line all to yourself with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. And again, just $25 a month. The future of wireless is here, and it is transparent. If you want more transparency in your wireless plan, you want to be on the Visible plan. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. That's Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com. This episode of GameScoop is sponsored by Squarespace. If you're looking for a way to make your business stand out and succeed online, Squarespace is the all-in-one website platform for you. They take the stress out of creating an awesome website, engaging with your audience, and selling anything from products to content to time, so you're able to focus on, you know, everything else. In other words, you'll have more time for gaming. With the new guided design system, you can choose from curated layouts and styling options to build a unique online presence from the ground up, optimized for every device. And with Squarespace's integrated, optimized SEO tools, you'll show up more often to more people. Squarespace doesn't just make things easier for you. Checkout for your customers is made seamless with simple but powerful payment tools that allow you to accept credit cards, PayPal, and Apple Pay, and in eligible countries, offer the option to buy now and pay later with Afterpay and Clearpay. So whether you're just starting out or looking to expand your existing brand, be sure to visit squarespace.com for a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/gamescoop to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. That's squarespace.com/gamescoop for 10% off. This episode of GameScoop is brought to you by GameFly. Come get up. Beware,
IGN GameScoop. How badly did they screw up the door thing, by the way?
Yeah, I don't know how they, how do you mess that up?
Door gate.
What's the
They've got to patch it.
It like legit, like sort of joking, not joking, gives me like it shakes my faith in the game.
I
you know
agree.
What they're talking about?
No.
In Mega Man, when you jump up and you're going to the next screen, it'll freeze Mega Man in the air.
In the air.
He stays. He's like,
and yeah. As the screen slides like, over.
And then the screen slides over and the Mega Man goes, bap.
You see, you just expect
game,
that behavior.
In this game, you jump up and you go between the level, and then Mega Man goes down, and then it goes to the next level.
He doesn't freeze in midair.
Like
he has in every Mega Man game of all time.
There have been 10 Mega Man games where he behaves this way, and now all of a sudden he doesn't.
That is really annoying.
Yeah. And I said, in a joking, not joking way, it shakes my faith in the game because, like, do the people making the game understand?
It's like, anyway, let's do a show.
All right.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to IGN GameScoop. I'm your host, Damon Hatfield. Joining me this week is Justin Davis.
Scoop.
Andrew Goldfarb is here.
Hello.
And Sam Claiborne.
Hey, everybody.
And if you're just listening to the show, you're unfortunately missing Andrew's very cool Super Mario Kart t-shirt.
Yeah.
Real good one.
The last time I wore it, I spilled coffee all over it, and I frantically got like shout wipes, and it ended up coming out. So I feel real good about it.
Is that your favorite Mario Kart?
Yeah, probably. I mean, it's
what?
I mean,
I did not expect that answer.
Only, well, here's the thing, right? It's like that thing of like, I know it is not the best Mario Kart game, but I have the best memories with it because that's like very, very,
so you probably weren't on the show when I kept on saying that the only bad game in the SNES classic was Mario Kart.
Well, just like, it's the only one I ever played like with my parents. I don't know. I like Super Mario Kart.
Yeah.
I think I
know
like,
it's not a good game.
I think I like DS the best.
DS.
I like, honestly, might like 7 more than even 8. I think 7 on 3DS is really, really good. Mm-hmm.
I don't know, man.
7's good, too.
I only play with the wheel, so I only play the wheel.
Just every game. Yeah.
I don't know. 8's hard to argue with.
8's really great.
This episode is brought to you by Shout Wipes.
Yeah.
It's not, actually.
We've got a great show for this week. We're going to talk about this new Nintendo Switch Online service that just launched late last night. Mm-hmm. We got to talk about the PlayStation Classic just announced. But first, Red Dead Online. We just got the first details of that this morning.
Scoop.
The online component to Red Dead Redemption 2. Red Dead Redemption 2 launches October 27th, I believe. And then the online service will be launching sometime in November. So
Not right at launch. Isn't that how GTA 5 worked also?
Yeah. And it was, I think GTA Online had trouble launching, if I remember right.
It was catastrophic.
Yeah.
Not even for like a long time.
Yeah.
And eventually they got it ironed out and it's amazing.
It's easy to forget since GTA 5 has gone on to become such an incredible success. But yeah, the online definitely had a rocky start.
Yeah.
And in fact, Rockstar is even saying that they're trying to get ahead of that this time and avoid some of that. No?
What do you think their time to DeLorean is? Because they put in a DeLorean in GTA Online last year.
Yeah.
And as we all know from Back to the Future 3, it's DeLoreans belong in the Wild West.
Yes. But it's like a they jury-rig the train to be the time machine in 3.
Well, but there's also a DeLorean because he...
The train pushes the DeLorean.
That's right. That's right. Oh my God. That's the only one I've only seen once. I've never rewatched Back to the Future 3.
Pulls it. I watched about 15 minutes of it.
You got to see it again to see the pee-pee kid at the end of
That I've seen. Yeah.
That's so good.
Yeah. That I've seen.
Explain.
There's a kid, an extra, who's just in the final scene when everyone's like waving.
Doc Brown's family.
It's his son. Well, it's like apparently what it was is that like when they had to go to the bathroom on set, they were supposed to like make a silent gesture because they didn't like disrupt filming. But he's just like very prominent.
In the movie,
he's pointing his crotch,
which is perfect because in Teen Wolf, everybody knows this. There's a real peen in Teen Wolf,
and in Batman today, there was a real one
in the comic. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. All happened. Yeah, that's maybe not in like the Justice League.
So,
did you look it up?
Yeah,
to give everybody
is he taking a shower?
It's like
we'll get to this.
Give people a peek behind how the sausage is made at IGN. We have a little morning meeting We have a morning meeting every day where we share the important priorities for the day. What's the most important thing happening in the world of news and the world of, you know, entertainment? And our entertainment lead says there's a new, really dark, gritty Batman comic coming out, and it's got a lot of controversy. And then because it's got Batman's just full on Batman wiener in the comic. And if you would have given me a chance to say 25 things that people are up in arms about in that comic that would not have been in the top 25, I just would not have guessed that that's what was happening this morning.
I know.
If it makes you feel better, it's like obscured in shadow. It's not like completely ridiculous.
I don't know why that'd make us feel better.
Yeah.
But is it because he's taking a shower and then he's thinking about getting Batman?
So I didn't see it in context. I just saw the frame. So I think it's like he's like, yeah, I assume he's like getting ready. I think he's on the phone with somebody.
Well, you can almost talking to like somebody. Obviously in all I know Damon, we gotta get going. In all art, right? Like every decision is deliberate, like every frame of film, every this. But in a film, you can at least plausibly make the excuse of like, well, the actor turned in a way we didn't expect, and we just went with that was just what happened in the moment.
Yeah.
But in a comic book, like they chose to draw this.
Yeah.
Like that's a decision they made.
6 degrees of separation. Ben Affleck is Batman.
Yeah.
Ben Affleck's penis is in Gone Girl.
Yeah.
That's true. That's a very good point.
Anyway.
Sort of.
Anyway. Thanks for tuning in to
Penis. That was only 2 degrees of separation.
Yeah. Peen scoop. What do you say, Sam?
That was only 2 degrees of separation.
Actually, you're right. You're right.
Nailed it.
Yep. Red Dead Online.
Oh, yeah. Whoops.
Will there be penises in it?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Time for DeLorean. Probably. Maybe 2 years.
Yeah. That's true.
I do wonder how weird, like, because is it heists? Like, you know, like, what is the thing that you picture from?
GTA Online keeps introducing new tech and new, like, every new expansion that comes out, there's new motorcycles and new ways to trick out your car. And, like, maybe I'm just being a little short-sighted because Rockstar is one of the most talented game developers in the world. Maybe they do have a steady pipeline of, like, Western-themed content, but, like, you can't trick out your horse or like your cabin in the same
horse armor.
They could go wild west and have a robot horse and then a robot spider and then robots other.
You could like dye its hair like cool like rainbow mane.
Or they could go
rainbows.
They could go cowboys versus aliens.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Maybe
I'm being a little short-sighted. I don't see how they have 5 years of content to support
cowboys
this.
And aliens. That's the actual name of the movie.
Really?
Yeah. Because it's a play on cowboys and Indians, right?
Oh, yeah, that sounds right. Yeah,
that's know, that's like
stupid,
but
yeah.
He's really dumb.
Allow Rockstar to explain, Andrew. Red Dead Online will take elements of the original Red Dead Redemption's multiplayer much further and combine that with everything we've learned in the years since then with our favorite elements from Grand Theft Auto Online. Is it clear to you now?
Oh, it's super clear.
Red Dead Redemption's multiplayer, wow. It's a deep cut.
Yeah. I know.
I played a lot of that.
But people liked that back in the day, and that's like 8 years old now?
I don't even think... Well, I mean, like, so here's the thing. When I think of Undead Nightmare, I have a lot of faith in what they could do with this because, like, I don't think I would have seen that coming for the original Red Dead. Yeah. So, like, for online, surely they have a million cool, weird ideas. And they're not like, they're a company that is not precious about, like, they will definitely get weird and supernatural and do whatever the hell they want with it.
But it has to be to make people, you know, spend money. You know, if you're going to play Red Dead Online for years, they want you every once in a while buying more Wild West bucks or whatever it is. And so you need to have some sort of permanent thing, like some reason, like whether it's a hideout or an upgradable something, or like, you know, a reason that you're spending that money on, like the supercars and jets and stuff in GTA. And I'm having a hard time like just visualizing what that's going to be.
Yeah. It'd be great if the funny money in the game was US dollars, but you know, what they were worth at the time.
So you're paying 100 real dollars to get like 50 wild, $50
or like 50 cents.
Yeah.
50 cents sterling.
The initial launch period will be considered a public beta. So it's launching into beta. Mm. Maybe that's just to cover their asses in case things do go sideways.
Yeah. Well, when I was rolling my eyes a little earlier, they said that they're taking a month to make sure that they get the kinks ironed out, and that's not why it's launching alongside the game. Mm. But I think it's to stop people from trading in the game.
Well, could be. There's that too.
I mean, I don't. When you look at GTA Online or even just GTA 5 in general, like I don't know how Red Dead compares to GTA. I would assume. Like, whenever we eventually get GTA 6, I think interest there is just higher by default than Red Dead, I think.
I'd say it's twice as much.
But, like, so that's the thing, right? Like, I wonder what the legs are in this game. I would assume they'll support it just as well and people will be into it. But, like, it never even, I don't think about people buying these games and trading them in, I guess. Like, I know it happens, obviously, but people have just supported GTA for so long that it almost feels like it's, like, blasphemy to think of that.
Maybe that's how it sold many copies. Sold many copies. It's like, dang, I traded in. I got to buy another
buying
copy.
It back, yeah.
I did it again.
GTA Online is extremely impressive. I remember I talked about it on Scoop last year.
Yeah.
It's like they made GTA 6 inside of GTA 5.
Yeah.
And so if they do that with Red Dead, that's very exciting. And given that it's one of the, Redemption had one of the best DLC packs of all time, like you were saying, you know, if they sort of take that ethos into online instead, like that's super cool.
Yeah. I do. I guess we're done with the era of single player DLCs from Rockstar, it seems like.
Well,
like I think they'll just lean harder and harder into online. It's interesting.
I really hope we get an Undead Nightmare thing.
Me too. Yes.
Oh my gosh. That was
so good. I think that's
the best DLC pack ever.
Yeah. I 100% agree.
So smart.
Yeah.
And then it ended up being a standalone too.
Yeah, that's true. Josh Needleman, senior producer at Rockstar's San Diego office, says, "We feel Grand Theft Auto Online really only found its feet creatively with heists," which came sometime after launch, right?
Yeah, I promise. I think they hit a year later.
Yeah.
"Our aim this time is to get there a bit quicker, but still be responsive to what people enjoy playing and evolve as we go. Of course, anyone who purchases Red Dead Redemption 2 will get access to Red Dead Online. It uses the world and gameplay mechanics of Red Dead 2 as a jumping off point for a new world of cowboys and cowgirls and outlaws that combines multiplayer and cooperative gameplay and narrative components in a huge open world."
Got a train heist sounds so cool.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just so in immediately.
Yeah, I just want to conduct the train. I just want to be the train boy.
The train sim.
Yeah.
Where are you guys going? I'm a human. Swear it.
Hop on, everybody.
Rockstar also says playing through the story and getting to know the controls and mechanics of the game is the best way to get ready for playing inside Red Dead Online. So that's another excuse for why.
Fair enough.
Online's not there at launch, but I don't know. I'm sure it's gonna
be all that fun stuff that will be fun in multiplayer. I'm looking forward to more in single player. So
yeah.
I hope they just have a great, you know, single player game for me to enjoy with train heists.
I think they will,
because I don't want to do that with other people.
I liked Red Dead's multiplayer. I spent a lot of time.
I don't remember what it is.
It was just like fairly traditional. Like I just played.
It was kind of like deathmatch, but everyone's just on a horse. Right?
I did team based deathmatch mostly in that game.
I don't know if I ever touched the multiplayer in that game.
Crazy. And they use the open world though, right?
Yeah.
It's not like they like built maps.
They had, it was the same as GTA 5, where they took elements of the open world and turned them into arenas that you couldn't bound
out. You can't
leave
out of them. Yeah. Okay.
Cool.
All right. Red Dead Redemption 2 is out October 27th.
So soon.
Well, a little over a month now. But yeah, it's closing in. Let's talk about Nintendo Switch Online.
Okay.
Who's gotten a chance to take it for a spin? I did.
Yeah. I don't.
And
I thought we were going to start a family plan.
Yeah. Well, you had a 7-day free trial, so.
Oh, okay. Okay.
We have 7 days.
Then they charge you after that, so you got to cancel.
Well, I played Zelda, the Famicom version this morning.
Yep.
With the better music.
Which has better music.
That's what Pear was all geeking out over. I mean, we all were. I can't just blame it on Pear, but they're not identical, right? The Famicom has that nicer sound
chip. It's from
the
disc system.
Yeah, and Altano was saying
it was like had a lot more storage for music, and it sounds really good.
And you can put, like, if you have a Japanese account, you can have both icons just available to you, basically. So you can have the NES library that you play and the Famicom library, like, super easily available, which I think is cool.
Yeah. And then cloud saves are great. So Zelda music and cloud saves, that's basically it.
That's the only reason I'm signing up, is cloud save.
Seriously, if you haven't ever heard it, you should look up the soundtrack to the Famicom disc system of The Legend of Zelda, because the music sounds closer to like 16-bit than an NES.
It's this
game
weird is. Parallel, yeah. Like as someone cool. that grew up with the NES, it's like it's not crazy high fidelity, but just
it's,
like
it's definitely a difference, yeah, for sure.
And the reason it was on disc system, that and Metroid and Kid Icarus, were all in the disc system, so you could save your game. That was the only reason they were on there. But the disc system had its advantages; it had better music. But then when we got those games here, they had no problem just putting them on a disc with a password, in some cases, and then Zelda a battery save.
Yeah.
So it's just kind of funny that they invented a disc system to do one thing: save a game, make it a little bit better. And then here they're just like, "Well, just put it in the cartridge."
Yeah.
Why two different approaches?
That is really weird.
There were other benefits because you could, write games to a disc.
Yeah, you could take your yellow disc to a gas station and write it in. Like that's so amazing. Cool.
That's incredible.
Yeah,
and they're doing this in like 1985 in Japan. It's crazy.
Yeah, and they're not like they're floppy disks technically, but they're not. They're like big, thick yellow discs. Yeah. And there's a little Disc-kun guy that's their mascot.
Yeah.
And like you never, I guess he's in Smash Brothers now, or she is in Smash Brothers now.
And then if you go to Super Potato in Tokyo, there's just piles of
there's so many
disk systems lying around. They're like $50 or something to buy. So pretty cool. Anyway, Nintendo Switch Online does provide access to a limited library of old NES/Famicom games.
Which does not overlap with the Classic.
Well, there's some overlap.
Well, sorry. It's not one-to-one with the Classic.
It's
you got pro wrestling.
Fewer games than the Classic. only 20 games right now.
But they're going to... More every month, right?
Yeah.
Or they rotate?
Like, but it's like three more every month.
Yeah.
One detail that I wasn't aware of until this launched, maybe it was announced and maybe it wasn't, was that you can't play online with strangers, only friends.
Yeah. Only friends, yeah.
And so that's...
Which is pretty Nintendo.
Yeah, I get it in that Nintendo way, but that's definitely a bummer, right? Like, that kills my motivation. Like, I would occasionally play, Balloon Fight against a rando, but, I don't want to pay, now just to play against you, Damon. play you against Balloon Fight anytime I want.
Yeah, that's true.
Every day at noon.
Every day at noon. That's what I was going to say.
Balloon at noon.
And then you get, to play your games online, just regular Switch games online, and then you get cloud saves for certain games.
Do you think, I think it was Kotaku or someone talking about how the online should have been for only games coming out moving forward, because now it's so sad.
Yeah,
people got to play Splatoon for months and months and months, and now,
they're
having it taken away from them, right?
Yeah.
Like, paying for online I'm not saying it's right or wrong, but it is the standard, right? Like, that's PlayStation, that's Xbox, and now Nintendo has caught up to the standard. But since they gave someone way more than, a taste of free online, it starts to feel a little bit worse that now it's being taken away.
I know, the optimistic view of that is, they got to play it for free for so much longer than they thought they would.
If it were only a month and then online were coming, fine.
Yeah.
Since it was months and months and months.
Well over a year.
Yeah. I feel less worried about it because from the very beginning they said this is happening at least, so it wasn't a surprise. But I do, I totally... it is really weird to think that there are people who are pro-level Splatoon 2 players who have put dozens and dozens, if not hundreds of hours into that now suddenly have to pay or they just can't access that.
Well, there's all those sad, what do they call the messages, the little picto messages?
Oh, yeah.
Everyone's leaving all these sad messages that's I'm going to miss you all. I can't afford to pay for online.
That's sad.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy.
That's too bad. You also get access to the NES controllers to purchase.
Yeah.
Although it's very confusing on how you do that.
Yeah.
But can you get the Famicom ones?
No.
Ooh, good question.
You can whatever your primary account is, I think you can get in on that.
Okay.
So I think if you paid the fee again, you probably could.
They're beautiful.
Yeah.
They're so cool.
And I think they're accurate because the second player controller in the Famicom doesn't have select and start buttons or
one has a speaker button. And one has the buttons.
I want them as the novelty to have them, but I can't imagine ever using them to play.
There'll be a second. There'll be a secondhand market for those.
Yeah.
I don't think I'm gonna pay for Nintendo Online. I've made my decision here on the show.
See, I mean, do it for cloud saves, dude. Like, do it so you don't lose your Zelda
save. You can
save.
Entirely lose your saves right now. Like, Nintendo can't restore them.
Yeah.
It's very stressful.
So it's like that. The thing that because I was gonna
and
wait.
It's happened to people here. Yeah, it happened to
back them up on an SD card.
No.
Something.
No. That's the problem.
Like, I was really considering waiting till 2019 to sign up because there are no online games I'm gonna play on Switch this fall. But I'm like, you know what, like. I'm doing it right now just for the cloud saves.
Yeah, I'm like 460 Korox in. Come on.
Yeah, I had all of them.
So I don't really play games online anymore. But given that Xbox Live Gold and PS Plus give you these other benefits, then I feel okay as a consumer about paying for that service once a year. But Nintendo Online, the NES games don't quite stack up to the same degree.
But it's also a third of the price.
Yeah.
Yeah. Unless you can join a family plan.
Yeah.
Like our
eight
friends
people.
Able to join it. Like, they're not like checking to see if it's actually
people?
Your family.
I consider you guys my family.
How do they check that if it's your family?
Well, I'm just thinking, like,
it's just like, it's just like Netflix. They don't check.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
And in this, at least, they do charge you more, though.
Yeah. Well, but it's cheaper than if everyone got their own plan.
Exactly.
If you split it eight ways, it's like nothing.
Yeah, it's great. It's like $4 a person.
Yeah.
All right. So
no,
for
it's
me,
it's way less than that.
No, because it's $35.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
You know, I've talked many times, I'm 95 to 98% a single-player gamer, so for me, access to Nintendo's classic games library is the real appeal. But at launch, the library is pretty lackluster.
Yeah. It's unclear whether they'll also like get to 40 or 50 games and then just wipe those out and do another 40. Like, I don't think they're going to build a library.
You don't think so?
I don't know, but like they didn't do that for the Wii U.
It just makes me a little sad thinking of... Not that I really took enough advantage of it, but Virtual Console getting so robust, and it's like this is such a sad replacement for it.
Well, I never took advantage of it either, but now I totally miss it.
Yeah.
I wonder if anybody's, I mean, no, because it just launched, but I can't wait to see the deep dive on just the emulation quality. Like the Wii's was renowned for being some of the best, most accurate emulation of all time, and the Wii U in some ways was a step backwards, and I haven't heard anything about the Switch
so
yet.
People have already figured out. They've already figured out it's the same emulator as the NES Classic.
Mm. No way.
Yeah,
it's exactly. That's really funny.
So it's like, well... Like, why was it delayed for so long?
Yeah.
They already had the emulator? Like,
well, the online is difficult.
There is the online component, but, I mean, it's like...
And it's was that 2 years it, right? Because you just played with your friend with another controller.
It is really crazy that we're, 18 months into the life of that system, and we just got online. That is really crazy.
I really do want to try River City Ransom online, though, because that requires precision timing and all kinds of stuff that you need to play with a friend co-op, and that's the only game on there that really pushes that limit. Well, Yoshi does, too.
You could play it like 12:30 every day, I guess.
Yoshi's not good, though.
Damon's a big fan of Yoshi, everybody.
No. I played Yoshi for the first time last night, and I was unimpressed.
But get this, he loves Yoshi's Cookie.
I do like Yoshi's cookie. Yeah.
Well, they're basically the same
they're
game.
They're totally different.
What's different?
They're
Don't say cookies.
They have different puzzle mechanics.
Yeah, it's a different game.
Yeah.
Wario's Woods. Well, all of these games came out at the same time, and they're all like, we got to do more... Dr. Mario's, you know?
Yeah.
And I don't think any of them got to the level of Dr.
Mario's
Mario.
Woods is pretty bad. I say Yoshi's Cookie, probably Yoshi, and then Wario's Woods.
Wario's Woods
is very awkward.
It's really difficult to kind
of
wrap your brain around.
But you should.
Is Wario's Woods on NES Classic?
No.
Definitely not. So.
But it was on NES, and it came out in 1994.
Yep.
Yeah, it's late.
And has an ESRB rating.
Oh, my God. That's crazy. That's so late.
It's really weird to see those characters ESRB. On NES, like Yoshi. And Wario. It's like, what are you doing on the NES?
Yeah.
That is really weird.
Yoshi's also in Mario's Time Machine and Mario's Missing. And it's just always the models like, how do we cram this thing in here?
Yeah.
It doesn't work.
Nope.
Anyway, not super impressed with the initial Nintendo Switch Online offering. Hopefully it can improve in the future. But what about the PlayStation Classic?
Super cool.
Where did they get that name?
Yeah.
Do you think, first off?
How did they not even change the name? Come on.
Well, I was telling Damon today, they didn't have to, and it works really well.
Yeah.
I kind of respect it, because it's like they know that's the comparison, right?
Yeah.
They know every gamer and every press outlet and every podcast on Earth is going to make that comparison, so why even try to lean away from it? Yeah. Just lean
but
into
I like
it.
The way like, Sean Layden from PlayStation this morning tweeted out, like, here's something we've been working on. It's like, okay.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Big secret you guys have been working on. Okay.
Don't you think they went to legal and they're like, do you think we can just call it the Classic? They're like, we'll check. And they're like, yeah, you can't trademark the term Classic. And their eyes just went really wide.
Yeah.
Done.
What do you think? What would the alternate name have been? Like, it wouldn't, the classic is the best name
it's
for
funny
it.
It's
just
we,
so shameless.
We call the NES classic the Mini a lot.
Yeah.
Or Mini and stuff. Yeah. Nobody ever ended up using that term. So yeah. They could have gone with that.
Yeah.
But there's all kinds of stuff they could have gone with. I just think it's funny. They're just like, well, this people just assume it's the same series.
I think
like, people outside of.
Yeah.
Game Scoop world don't really know who makes
what. Oh, for sure.
What,
like Nintendo had a huge hump to overcome to try to convince people that their mini console was different than the knockoff sold in the mall kiosk.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Which were, they're so ubiquitous. Like those were just around forever. And so it's, I actually kind of like, I pre-ordered a PlayStation Classic because I sort of like this weird collection of boutique consoles now. Just these like
I
tiny
love
miniatures.
The minis. I think they're great, but I don't open them. But I would. So, I want to play the PlayStation one because I don't.
I know that's
I don't
like
play
a
any
blind spot
games.
For you, right?
Yeah.
So that's pretty cool. Here's what we know so far. It'll have 20 games. 5 games revealed so far. Final Fantasy VII again. Mm-hmm. Tekken 3, Wild Arms, mm-hmm. which I've never played.
That's like a. I looked it up today. It's a 2D-ish RPG. A lot of like you know Super
JRPG.
Nintendo era JRPG elements. But then you go into battle and it's kind of like this really janky looking now 3D.
Jumping Flash, which was a launch title for the PlayStation, I believe.
So okay, that game is really graphics. Cool. You're a jumping rabbit robot, but as Damon described it, you really pull out of the ground and
jump way high.
So it's
so it was like a showcase
3D rendering.
Of the 3D graphics at the time.
Mm-hmm. But it looks really primitive, but playable, like Mario 64.
Like no one, like Jumping Flash is interesting as a historical artifact. No one's asking to play that game in 2018.
We gave it like a 7.8 or an 8.4.
Back then,
something in the eights.
You could do whatever you wanted back then.
No, I know.
Ridge Racer Type 4 is the fifth game that has been announced so far. Which I was impressed with how smoothly it ran.
Well, because I was watching Jump. What's it called? Jump Force.
Jumping Flash.
And then I was like, yes, Jumping Flash. And I was like, this is pretty okay 3D. And I was like, oh, the PlayStation wasn't great at 3D its whole lifespan. It started pretty rough. And then you go to Ridge Racer from 1999, and it's like higher resolution, which I don't even get. But the PlayStation could do that. It could do a higher resolution, and it looks like a PS2 game.
It's
amazing.
Ridge Racer Type 4 is renowned for, like, it was a late-ish PS1 game, and just the stuff that it was pulling off on a technical standpoint, it was, like, on another level.
Still, it looks ancient now. But it's really impressive if you kind of know that era and what it's supposed to look like. And Mark Ryan Salee, longtime IGN racing fan here, says racing games were only good on the PlayStation 1.
Wow.
But I wonder if we're going to get...
And he said that was like one of the best
a noted curmudgeon about video games.
But isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
Racing games were only fun on the PlayStation 1. It's been all downhill since then.
Yeah, Crash Team Racing on that platform.
That has to be in here.
I wonder if we're going to get Gran Turismo.
Gran Turismo is a pretty solid
Why
bet.
Didn't they just announce all the games? It's like, it's so...
Why don't they just make it a racing pack?
Because they also, they maybe are still trying to line up some third
Yeah,
party
that's
games.
What I think it must
that's
be.
That's why...
Then don't limit it to 20.
What a gamble of like, we only have 17 games, but we can't wait to announce this mini console anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why there's a couple of comments that Frank Cifaldi made about this today that I thought were really smart.
Yeah.
One of them is that he noted that he just rewatched all of Deadwood. And he didn't have to like buy an HBO mini to do it, right?
Yeah.
He's just able to watch these old TV shows, and video games are the only medium where they make you buy this $100 new console to play these old games, and everyone's like excited about it.
Yeah.
Okay, but the controller matters. And the fact that the controller is a reproduction and should feel just like the original controller should hearten your
that's
investment.
That's another issue. Yeah. Whereas it's the original PlayStation controller.
That's what I described it as, like a monkey's paw wish granting scenario on social media today, where it's like we got the PlayStation Mini, but it doesn't have a dual analog controller. Which it's a pain. It's annoying to not have the dual analog. But the D-pad, PlayStation D-pads are horrible. They're notoriously bad.
They're still bad to this day.
The thing, it also doesn't come with an AC adapter, which is really weird for $100.
Doesn't bother
but
me, but I
get what we have out to Sony, what we're asking Sony.
Batteries?
I don't know.
USB. They haven't said. I'm assuming it's just USB mini. It's probably the same plug as your PS4 controller.
USB can, some USB ports can provide
So they're
power.
Thinking you'll just plug it into like your PS4?
Your TV, probably.
Weird, okay.
So my thing with it, and we asked these questions to Sony, the way they can differentiate themselves and fix a lot of these problems would be maybe you can literally plug a PS4 controller into it and use that as the dual analog option. Mm. I can totally see them doing something like that to
it's
make
even
it
more power draw, though.
Part of, I mean, maybe. But the other big thing with it is like, are they going to, like, are they putting trophies in these things? Can this thing connect online? That, yeah. Like, I'm really curious about what the actual, like...
That would be really smart, because there was some sort of included achievement system in the SNES Classic.
Yeah, exactly. It's just, like, an internal
one. Would you have to log into
one.
Your PlayStation
Wait,
account?
There is?
I mean, maybe.
Yeah, there's something, like, you get, like...
You can't do that without
tracking
analog
your completion for all the games. And
really?
Yeah, some of the internal
what?
System, yeah.
Where?
Well, I think you... Don't you unlock... Extra.
You have to play.
Yeah.
Some.
Are you talking about the SNES Classic?
The original Star Fox to unlock.
Yeah.
Star
yeah.
Fox.
You have
to
unlock Star
Fox.
Yeah.
To
yeah.
So you have to beat yeah. the first boss of Star Fox.
But there's nothing outside of that, is there?
I think there's some sort of like tracking system that tracks how much
thing.
You've completed each game.
Yeah.
Really?
Pretty sure.
It's not online though.
No.
Yeah. yeah. And internal. I do think it would especially be cool. Hey. I don't think they'll do this, but it would be especially cool if you connect it online and it lets you yeah. have DLC, like
Dude,
get a 21st game.
People get real trophies for this thing.
Yeah. They'll go crazy.
Dude, people. We'll absolutely buy this.
Yeah, 100%.
That would help.
Yeah.
There's buttons on the console again.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure I saw it today that one of them is the reset button.
It's the open
disc
button.
Like yeah. switches,
doesn't
switches
open
disc.
Which is like the biggest complaint about
the
NES Classics is that you always have to like get reach to the tiny little system. And
you can't reset it with the actual
No.
You can't.
There's no like home
But hopefully they'll build that in software in this. Nintendo was really stubborn on that.
Yeah.
And like to switch games or whatever, you have to like... touch the little systems recently.
I hope the lid flips open.
Yeah,
for no reason.
That'd be cool.
They didn't show that today, so.
We've sort of, you glossed over the $100 thing.
Yeah.
That is more than the SNES and
they're
the NES.
They're getting more and more expensive.
Yeah. Like $100 is.
That is really expensive.
Yeah, like, I mean, everyone's threshold's different based off their own, you know, household and income. But like for me, that's outside of the range of like, I can just get it because it looks neat. And it's
two of those is a PS4. Because you can get used PS4s for under $200.
Well, I mean, isn't a base model new PS4 like $250?
Yeah.
Now?
It's also
brand new,
not to sing the Vita song that I'm the only one who still sings, but like you get a refurbished Vita for way less than that right now and have access to the entire library
All right,
of PS1.
Cut them off. Cut the mic. Cut the mic.
It's true. It's
that
true.
Gives you immediate access to, you could probably buy the five games that were announced today and a Vita as PlayStation 1 classics and just have it today for less money.
The flip side is $5 per game is not bad.
Yeah.
That's comparable to the SNES Classic.
Oh, for sure.
Well, but what are the games? Like, that's the thing. Like, if the games are bad, then...
Yeah, like, we're already off to a weird start.
Did you guys
start.
See the box?
Yeah.
I think the box
awesome.
Is cool. Yeah, I think the box is
when everything about miniaturizing this hardware and keeping the old packaging is, like, so... I so nerd out over it.
Yeah.
I love it so
I
much.
I agree with that.
When one of their lead-off games is Jumping Flash, though, it's like the SNES Classic is a collection... It's the greatest game collection ever made.
Do you guys remember the iteration of the PlayStation that was small?
Yeah, the PS1.
Yeah, it was so
the PS1.
Cool.
Yeah. I think that's...
Did you guys notice the marketing of this also has the same pictures that the NES Classic had originally, and one of them is it's like in a lady's hand.
Yeah.
And it's just the exact thing.
Yep.
I mean, you know, I mean,
how else do you show off its size, right?
It's just such a crazy arms race because now when the
Mega
Drive
found someone with really tiny hands,
like it's just a full size model.
Like that just looks like a PlayStation.
I do think that there's going to be this weird arms race where after the Mega Drive and Genesis Classic comes out, they're going to make the Dreamcast Mini, and then we're going to get the N64. Like it's so
think of all the arms.
History is just repeating itself. It's so weird.
Are they going in order? Yeah, they've gone in order. So
yeah,
everyone's
so
entertainment
weird.
Center is going to be horrible.
Yeah.
Well, they announced the Sega Genesis like Mini. I think that one's called, but that one just got delayed until next year.
Yeah.
And we have the Neo Geo Mini here in the office, and that one actually looks pretty cool.
We even have mini arcade machines.
Cool.
Well, I mean, it seems it's at least a cool collection of games. There's 40 games on there. And the irony is that a lot of those arcade games have aged better than some of these 3D, early 3D PlayStation games, I think.
The analog sticks, to jump back to that for a second, besides just being, you know, annoying because I don't think anybody actually likes or prefers the D-pad on the PS1. It makes certain games like Ape Escape, I think, literally impossible to play. Like, there's games that required the dual analog stick. And even a game like Gran Turismo, like, obviously you want analog control over your car, right? Like, to have to go back to digital control... It's not great.
To have games from late in the life cycle of the PlayStation is especially weird to not include analog because it's like that's not even a nostalgia thing at that point. No one played them this way. It's really strange.
It's like kind of a mean meme now, but it is crazy whenever Sony does something that Nintendo exactly did, like the Wii controllers and the Move controllers and like stuff like that. It is funny, but we were talking about today the other instances of that, and like frankly, like Nintendo didn't have a disc-based medium first. Sony did. Yeah. That was like the biggest deal at the time. There's just like stuff like that. So I've been seeing a lot of kind of unfair stuff today.
Yeah.
And everybody takes from each other. But this one, the fact that it's the name and everything, Sony deserves a little bit of ribbing for this, even though we're all very excited for it.
Yeah. Nintendo could have had the disk-based medium first.
They could have.
Yeah.
But they got that prototype working finally.
Nintendo
right?
PlayStation.
Yeah.
Forgot
about that.
I was hovering over the pre-order button, and then because of the controller, I decided not to.
I did it for now. I think I'm going
to
keep
my
order.
I'm just waiting to see what other games. Like if Einhander's in there. I don't think Einhander will be in there. But if it is, I'm like, okay, this is the only way to play Einhander today.
It is so funny because I'm now getting almost to Altano levels with Mario Brothers with Final Fantasy VII because I've purchased Final Fantasy VII so many times already and I'm going to buy it again on Switch very soon. Like, then I'll buy the remake. Like, I'm to the point where I will have gotten that game like 10 times.
That's another one that Sam hasn't played. So
yeah. I don't know if I'd want to play that. I think the fact that it's on Switch is like the coolest thing. Yeah.
What if they have Chrono Cross?
That'd be cool.
Yeah. I'm interested in Chrono Cross.
They got to have one interesting like thing that Nintendo nailed with the SNES is you have to have one game or two games that just can't, like Star Fox 2, right? Like you got to have the thing
that did never help. Re-released. That, they didn't do that for NES though.
Yeah. Like Final Fantasy 7's on Steam, right? So it's neat to have it in this form factor and with the controller. Like I understand all that nostalgia, but if you can have a game that this $100 package is like the spot you have to play it.
Guys, can you imagine 25 years from now, we'll have the Final Fantasy VII remake on its own tiny PS5?
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, nuts.
It'll be the PS5 mini.
They'll re-release the Switch.
Yep.
Another comment that Frank Cifaldi made about this that's a little bit cynical, but I thought it was...
Frank Scoop!
I know, I thought it was pretty telling, is that the game libraries for these classic systems are decided by lawyers.
Yeah.
Right? There's like so many licensing issues. Like you mentioned Gran Turismo.
Yeah,
that would seem like a perfect fit, but... What, they have to renegotiate all those car manufacturers?
Well, and add licensed music. It was full of like 90s tunes.
Yeah. So Tony Hawk's Pro Skater, I don't know what they're going to do about that. Even then, like Wipeout XL, they got to go back to all these like techno producers.
Chemical Brothers. Probably.
I know.
Probably.
If you're right that they're still in the middle of negotiating these, like they're like chasing it before the release date, they definitely have a library of just like sad first party backups, like things that just like no one, it's like.
I think it'll have. IQ, Intelligent Cube.
Yeah.
That's actually
Siphon Filter is pretty good.
Yeah.
Siphon Filter is a good bet, which is actually pretty cool.
What about Colony Wars? Dude, if this
it's gotta have Colony Wars, that's like a sort of space battle sim.
Can Parappa work without the analog? Yeah, it's a
shame. They can totally have Parappa the Rapper. They should have. But probably Jammer Lammy for that.
It's funny because like they don't need, it's weird because like it wouldn't make sense to put Resident Evil 2 or Crash or Spyro on this because we just got those new versions of those games.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe a little less Resident Evil, but.
And then Metal Gear Solid.
Symphony.
We were talking about this earlier in the office. I think you can play it without the analog sticks, but then there's
some
features
about
in the
Rumble.
Game with Rumble.
In what game?
In Metal Gear Solid.
Metal Gear Solid, I don't think it literally requires it.
But there's features that use it, and then there's features in the game that use your memory card.
Was Metal Gear Solid even out before DualShock? Happened?
I don't think so. I think it was later.
So it was like about launching DualShock like right then.
Yeah, there's
it was Apex Tape that launched it.
Oh, okay.
There's games that are like DualShock shock optimized and games that literally require it to play. And so games like Ape Escape are out.
PlayStation's so funny. And then they did this whole thing again with 6-axis when PS3 came out. They're just like so funny with controllers and tying things in too closely.
The Xbox had a pretty good burn on social media today where I think it was like the Xbox UK Twitter account tweeted like, hey, did you know you can play 500 classic games on your Xbox One for free right now? And I'm like, that's actually a super good point. Like they're not trying to, granted the Xbox library of consoles doesn't go back as far.
Sure.
But they're not trying to they're doing the exact opposite.
But
instead of trying to sell you
the Xbox
games
is
again.
So big.
That's why.
Have you ever tried to hold it in one hand?
Yeah. I just like they've quietly, like I'm sure they're probably a little frustrated today that they quietly have the absolute best backwards compatibility in the entire business now. And then everyone's losing their mind over paying $100 to pay these $20 games again, play these 20 games again.
I just feel crazy because I bought so many of these PS1 classics to replay within the last 5 years. And so it's so funny that I'm now going to spend another $100 to repurchase the literal same version.
Xbox is just, they're just bummed because they have to wait for the Dreamcast, the GameCube, the PS2 minis to come out before
to be part of it. Yeah.
If they get Suikoden 1 and 2 on there, I'll buy it.
Other good candidates, that would be really good. I've never played those. Symphony of the Night. I feel like it's just got to have that one.
Breath of Fire.
Final Fantasy IX, not the original Breath of Fire.
I think.
Final Fantasy IX.
There's some Dragon Quest.
One thing that's really cool about
Dragon Quest V is supposed to be really good.
Yeah.
That whole market can like benefit from this. Like with the SNES Classic, they put games like Earthbound in there that are $250 to buy a cart, and then suddenly it was accessible, and that made the price more attractive. And so, like, I think with this, on top of what you were saying for like unreleased stuff, I think also something like Suikoden 2, that's like $500 to buy,
well,
you could just put it in this.
Well, that finally came out on PS3.
That's
even,
true.
But even so, that's not PS4.
Like, yeah.
What's the rabbit? Vib Ribbon?
Vib Ribbon.
Yeah, Vib Ribbon.
That was like a Japan-only game. So they could do something.
I was going to say, those kind of import-y games would be really cool.
Yeah.
But then again, like our list is already over 20. So it's like, why did they say, I just wish it was 50.
There's like something weird about this. Like, there's something weird about not announcing the games that I can't put my finger on. I'll get to the bottom of it.
One thing that might be kind of cute and fun to include is the Spider-Man game for PlayStation. Yeah. It's just called Spider-Man, and that'd be kind of a fun
one. Did Activision make it?
Probably.
Surely, we're never going to see that game again.
Well, yeah, I guess maybe.
Yeah.
Again,
especially from Sony, yeah.
But it would be a cool inclusion.
Yeah, I agree.
GameScoop is sponsored by Gamefly, the best way to buy and rent your favorite games. Gamefly.com gives you access to 9,000 titles, which are mailed directly to your door. For one monthly fee, you can play the latest and greatest games for as long as you want, with no late fees or due dates, ever. When you get tired of a game, all you have to do is mail it back, and they'll send you the next title on your list. Today, every Scoop listener gets access to a free premium 30-day trial by going to Gamefly.com/Scoop. That premium trial lets you rent two titles at the same time, and you get it by going to Gamefly.com/SCOOP. Gamefly.com/Scoop. Check it out.
Let's check in with the listeners.
Hey,
listeners. Listeners, remember you can always reach us at the email address gamescoop@IGN.com, just like Matt in Dallas, Texas did.
I lived there for a while.
He says, have y'all ever read any video game tie-in novels or expanded universe novels? If so, which ones? And do you have any favorites? I recently just finished the prequel novel to Insomniac's Spider-Man and really enjoyed it. I've also read many of the Warcraft and Halo novels. I know there is a perception, and maybe rightfully so in some cases, that video game novels are garbage, but I honestly love them and consider them a guilty pleasure. They may not be found on anyone's greatest list of novels ever written, but I love spending more time in these worlds and learning more about the backstory or lore. Interested to hear y'all's thoughts. Sam has been reading the Witcher novels.
Those aren't tie-ins.
Aren't they? Or the game is the tie-in to the novels?
Oh, yeah. Don't let the author hear you. Like,
I mean, I don't know. I'm asking.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they were written way before, and they were like
way before, like
books,
how long?
Like
before?
Early 90s.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and so they were only translated 2014, 2015 to English. So when The Witcher 3 came out and stuff, you could have read the books and stuff like that by that time. Mm. And I'm on the second book of the trilogy about The Witcher, and it's really about Ciri and Yennefer and the characters that you know from the game, and that is appealing to me. I did think that was cool. Now, they're not amazing fantasy books. They're nowhere near Game of Thrones or something like that, but they're palatable. And it does do that exact thing, though. I like reading more about the universe, which I already liked in the game. And I've also read other video game tie-in books.
Such as?
I read a Mass Effect one.
Wow,
and
me too.
I blogged about it because back when we had IGN blogs, this is a long time ago, because it has a full page long elevator scene.
Yeah.
And I thought that was just, I just thought that was the funniest thing at the time.
What was his name?
I don't even want to go into explaining that joke, but it was funny. Yes.
Yeah. He wrote a bunch of like he did a lot of that stuff. As a kid, I was actually really into tie-in novels, like very nerdly. I remember reading, I think there was like a Shadows of the Empire one. I definitely read a lot of the Halo ones.
Halo books are like legit great novels. They're probably there's an interesting feature in this of like ranking the best video game tie-in novels.
Yeah, definitely. Because like I haven't done it recently. Like I can't imagine. We were just talking that I think Corey Barlog's dad wrote either the novelization or the prequel novel to the new God of War. Mm-hmm. And like there's like fun little cute things like that, but.
Yeah, I mean, Matt, I would say, first of all, like, don't let someone tell you they're garbage. Like, do you know how many Americans, like, don't read anything at all?
Yeah,
just don't read books. So, like, I wouldn't let anybody stress you out about whether you're reading a video game book or whatever you're reading. Like,
I agree.
No worse than anything that's not on the top 100.
Whatever you enjoy reading is, like, a valuable use of your time. I don't, like, I read about half of the Uncharted tie-in novel, and the way that it reads, the action scenes are really funny just because it reads like a scene in Uncharted. It's like Drake ducked behind a wall and then popped out to shoot some enemies, and like I was like, oh man.
I definitely read some. There's some Bioshock ones too that I definitely read like a few years back.
A lot of them are aimed a little younger, just be aware of that, and just like the old Star Wars novels were back in the day.
But I read it like a fifth grade reading level, so it's actually really
I just remembered I fanboyed out and like unironically loved the Doom novels. Mm-hmm. There's four of them. And they're amazing. The first one's like a retelling of Doom 1, and it's the exact cheesy thing I'm describing, where like the way that you read that book sounds like you're playing through a level of Doom 1, and he like collects
the weapon. He wheels around the corner to find another
and then, like,
demon.
He find, like, he levels up through the book and finds more and more powerful guns and like body armor and stuff, but then the books get, they veer off into this wildly different direction and become this crazy original weird sci-fi story. There's four of them. I love them. I think about them all the time. They're still on my bookshelf to this day.
You know, all sci-fi and all fantasy has been frowned upon.
Oh, sure.
During the existence of those genres. So it's like, you got to, it's funny to think of like those being a wedge of things, which even sci-fi buffs like myself, and I'm not saying I do this, look down upon. And, you know, if you were reading the most amazing sci-fi authors ever, like Philip K. Dick in, you know, in the 60s and 70s, everybody would think you're a total geek. So, you know, don't get down on yourself for reading what you
read. I think Justin nailed it. Like, I hate the term guilty pleasures in the same way. Just like what you like and don't let people make you feel bad about it.
When I was growing up, like, in my life was all, like, Arthur C. Clarke and Michael Crichton, like, all these sci-fi authors. That was all I did. That and play video games.
As a kid, I read the novelization of Friday the 13th, Oof. Part 2.
I have one better. I read the novelization of Home Alone.
Wow.
Oh my God.
That is set up a bunch of traps.
I still have it. Yes.
Wow. Producer Dan also read that.
Yeah. It's like, I don't remember anything about it.
I also, of course, read
the cover. Probably guess a couple things.
Yeah. I think the Wet Bandits were involved.
I read several entries in the Worlds of Power series.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Which are novelizations of NES games. Mm-hmm. There's a Bionic Commando one. There's Castlevania 2.
I've been trying to find those for a while. Those are really interesting.
Mega Man 2 has one.
I think there's a Blaster Master one.
There's a Blaster Master one, which. One of the sequels, I think the Blaster Master on PlayStation canonized some of the things that were written about in the Worlds of Power book. Yeah.
The Lost Frog plotline.
Yeah. But they had to change all this stuff. Like, they had to, like, remove all the violence, basically. And from Castlevania, they had to remove any sort of, like, witchcraft or, like...
He's not a vampire anymore.
Yeah, like, wizardry.
It's really funny. I'm still thinking about the idea of an Uncharted novelization being, like, he climbed, and then he jumped to a different rock and climbed a little bit higher. And
I mean, that's not... It's better written than anything I could ever write. Yeah. But that's not that much of an exaggeration of what it is. There's, like, shooting scenes and climbing scenes. And, like,
he was wondering where to climb until he noticed a red railing and immediately jumped to it.
And that's, like, in movies
he
where
flipped
they
all
think
around
it's
for
gonna
5 minutes.
Like, you think it's going to be really cool when they finally switch into first person in Doom, and then you're just like, oh my gosh, this is such pandering.
I love that, like, Green Lantern and Doom are just made fun of so mercilessly by even The Rock and Ryan Reynolds. Like, they just, like, crap all over stuff they worked on.
There's also a Worlds of Power book for Infiltrator. You know remember that game? Isn't that a top-down tank game? I just feel like it's such an obscure game.
That's Vindicators.
That's what I'm thinking of. So what is Infiltrator?
I think I just got 20 questions in one question.
Damn it.
Top-down tank game. Well done.
They wrote...
I think Infiltrator is a fantasy game, surprisingly.
They wrote a Worlds of Power book for Bases Loaded 2.
Whoa, I would read that.
What's going to happen in this season?
Does Bases Loaded 2 have animals in it for some reason?
I think it's just all still just robots, right?
No, that's Space Wars.
Oh, that's right.
Bases Loaded is just a realistic baseball game.
I think I'm thinking of baseball all-stars.
I was thinking about like a dystopian sci-fi robot baseball game. I'm like, I would read the shit out of that book.
Base Wars would be a great novelization.
Yeah.
We get novels sent to us by GameScoop fans
sometimes.
That are cover these same themes.
Love that Mario fan novel.
Keep on writing.
This is Brad in Dayton, Ohio. He said, I heard and really related to a recent GameScoop, specifically the lament of the adult video game fan, how we never have enough time to play the games we want to. I have a very real fantasy about to happen in my life, and I would love to hear GameScoop's take. I'm having a minor surgery in early November, and I will be off work for 2 whole weeks.
Yeah.
I can easily see getting a good 45 plus hours per week of gameplay fun while my wife is at work and my 6-year-old daughter is at school. I recently purchased an Xbox One X as my day one edition was starting to sound and look haggard. I have some older games that I never played or completed. I have my eyes on some games I've never purchased or some coming soon, and there's some backwards compatible titles I would like to revisit. Answer me this, Omega Cops, which category would you prioritize if it were you? And which games would they be? Category 1, games you already own but haven't played. Mine are Deus Ex, Mankind Divided, Wolfenstein The New Order, Ooh. Rise of the Tomb Raider.
Ooh.
Or 2, games you haven't bought, old or new, but would like to play. Mine are Witcher 3, Divinity Original Sins 1 and 2, Shadow of War, Red Dead Redemption 2 will be out in time for my staycation. Or 3, old games that you've thought about replaying for ages but just haven't had time to, like KOTOR, Portal 1 and 2, and the BioShock collection?
I say Category 2, because I think that Category 1 is stuff that, like, you would get to probably realistically, but, like, you're not, like, unless you have this situation where you're off your feet for that long, you're not going to pour time into a giant RPG.
Well, and sometimes, like, your head and your heart aren't quite aligned. Like, if you've owned a game for a long time but just have never gotten around to finding the time to playing it, like, maybe that's your way of telling yourself, like, that's not quite the thing that's going to, you know, rustle your jimmies.
Yeah, although occasionally I'll put in a game in my backlog and I'll be like, oh, this is amazing. Why didn't I play this? And just feel like an idiot.
That's true. I would recommend to pick something that you don't own that you're really pumped and jazzed about.
The Witcher 3 sounds like a very good pick. That's like, that feels like a great way to...
That's such a huge game.
Yeah, and Zach Ryan, who works with us, he had surgery in his knee, I think, literally the day the Switch came out. And so he had a very similar situation where he just poured his time to Breath of the Wild for 2 weeks while he was out.
It sounds really nice, actually.
It sounds really nice. I like the old game idea. I rarely have time to dip into old games, but that's the way I played Chrono Trigger, is that, like, I just, like, had time to play it. And I wanted to play it. I never played it back in the day. And that changed my life. So there's definitely old games of that ilk, which is like, oh, we should all be definitely playing those games. You know,
you may also find, I mean, I don't know the nature of his surgery, but, if he's got a six-year-old and a wife and he's at home all day, he may not have quite as much time to just sit around and play games.
I was going
to
say,
all day, every day.
Literally can't get out of bed.
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's why I don't know. But, like, in my case, you know,
the dishes are just piling up.
Yeah, like, you're
sorry,
still.
What do you want me to do?
You still,
I had minor surgery.
You got to have dinner prepped. There's errands to run. There's, like, some minor stuff around the house that has to happen. Like, a closet's got to get cleaned out. And then even if you play games for, like, you know, a long time, like, 2 weeks, I feel like that time's going to go by that. And it's like, well, I didn't even beat The Witcher 3.
Yeah.
So Witcher 3 or Chrono Trigger? Your choice.
Yeah, those two.
Yeah, maybe pick some games you can get through in, like, a couple days.
I feel like he could cut a wide swath through all three categories.
Yeah. I agree with
that. Deus Ex Mankind Divided isn't a terribly
fairly
long...
short.
Terribly long game, and neither are Portals 1 or 2.
Yep.
That's true, actually.
He could knock all those out, and then he could also get pretty deep into The Witcher 3, and then he's covered all of his bases.
The problem with playing Portal 1 and 2 is that it just leaves you wanting so much more.
That's true. The last time I played those games, I played them back-to-back. I just sat down and played them over the course of, like, 2 or 3 days, and, like, God, they're so good.
So good.
And they fit so well together.
Yep.
Amazing.
Surprisingly,
Portal 2 is perfect. Yeah.
Well, I remember when Portal 2 was announced, people were like, why do we need a sequel to Portal? And they showed us why.
Yeah.
So good.
That's true. That's like, honestly, the example I give whenever anyone asks about the value of good writing.
Yeah.
Because, like, that game is made by its writing. I love it. I mean, the mechanics are amazing too, but, like, the writing sells it.
Genuinely really funny. Stephen Merchant, that's who it is?
Yeah.
Yep.
And J.K. Simmons.
So good as Wheatley.
He's really, really funny. All right, that brings us to Video Game 20 Questions. Our suggestion this week comes from the previously heard from Matt in Dallas, Texas. Let the questioning begin.
He's
what was
back.
His question about?
He was the question about...
The minor surgery.
He was the
reading novels. Yeah. It's been so long.
Excellent.
Does your character wear a head covering of some kind? Is there something covering their head?
Yes.
Does hair count?
No.
Has you're going to ask if there's a video game tie-in novel.
not attached to his body or her body.
Body. The answer is yes.
Sorry, your question was a head covering or just a hat?
Well,
just move past it.
There's something covering the head.
You can something that's not a part of your body goes over your head.
Okay. Mario 3.
Can you play as a woman?
No.
It's looking more and more like
yeah, because it can't be Mario 2.
Yeah.
Is this a game that we've mentioned on this Game Scoop?
No.
Oh, I hoped so hard the answer was yes.
That'd be weird.
Base Wars.
That's a really good question. That's a really good 20 questions hack.
Is this from before the year 2000? We're just going to cut you out of this one.
I'm off of this game. It's fine.
Is it before the year 2000? Yes.
Oh, great.
Is it before January 1st, 1990?
Yes.
Is the developer that makes it still in business?
Is the developer still in business?
Or still making games today, I should say.
What?
Did I ask it wrong? What?
No, I just don't.
It sounds like
who's in business but not making games?
The confusing state of Data East.
Hold on. I'm just trying. I want to answer the question accurately.
Maybe.
The developer.
I was thinking about it again. Do you need to look up something?
The developer is kind of still in business.
Is it? It's probably THQ. It's probably a treasure game
or Atari or something.
THQ.
Yeah. So
oh, THQ. That's true.
Was this game
Atari or something?
Yeah. Was this game developed in Japan?
No.
Is this?
Oh, we really are just skipping over Andrew.
It's fine. I have nothing to contribute. Oh, is there a horse in it?
Is this from is that your question?
No.
Is this from before 1985?
Oh, no.
Okay.
Did this game originally appear on the NES?
No.
Oh.
Was it an arcade game?
Yes. That's 10.
What country was it made in? Did we talk about this?
Not Japan.
So it's probably Atari. It's probably Gauntlet or something from 85 or later. 720.
Well, that's Midway, though, isn't it?
No, that's Atari.
Is it?
But it was in the Midway Classics.
Yeah, okay. Maybe that's why I associate it with Midway.
Well, there's later a Gauntlet game. So that's definitely an Atari game.
Do you have the ability to play? Can you pick from more than one character to play as?
No.
So there are a lot of arcade companies that are weird like this now, because Dating is putting out a bunch of stuff like that, as we keep talking about.
That's like a non-trivial. That eliminates all fighting games. That eliminates Gauntlet, any co-op game.
Yeah.
Any side-scrolling brawler.
Was this ported to the NES?
Yes.
Is it licensed?
No.
Good question, though.
We'll get this one, I think. So,
will we?
The head thing is funny. Is this an Atari game?
Yes.
Nice.
Paperboy?
Yeah, it could be Paperboy or 720. Both of those were ported to the NES.
Was Paperboy was made in Japan, though, right? Or no?
No. This is Atari? Yeah. Yeah, I think we're getting there.
You wear a hat in Paperboy.
There's more common in Atari games, too, because there's all the Tengen games. Every single one of those is an Atari game. So there's, Tetris. And
yeah, but it's not. You play as you wear a hat.
You could be wearing a hat in Tetris. You don't know.
Does this game take place on something that people would recognize as Earth?
Yes.
Paperboy's looking more and more like that. Well, is this a game involving newspapers delivered to customers?
You can ask that.
Is that your question?
Yeah, sure.
Yes.
But what if it's Paperboy 2?
Is it Paperboy?
Yes, it is. Nicely done.
That's going to be my new standard question.
Question number one.
Is there a horse in it? Okay, question two. Does this involve delivering papers to customers?
Are there newspapers?
How do you answer the question? Is the developer still in business?
Yeah.
Like, it's not around.
Like,
it's just a name, right? Like,
yeah.
That's
really weird. Atari as a name is just fascinating to me.
So did the developer know? But, I don't want to mislead you.
Yeah.
It's tough.
Interesting.
I played a Paperboy not 2 weeks ago.
The arcade cabinet?
Arcade cabinet.
Is it weird that there's just a break dancer like in the middle of the sidewalk?
It was
the
80s, man. Breakdance. You couldn't walk down the street without tripping over breakdance.
Yeah,
that's
how it was.
Look, it was horrible. Anytime you were walking down the street, you'd open your door in the middle of the night. There's just a breakdance.
Yeah.
There's all these videos of like the Pikachu mascots in Japan for like all these festivals, and I retweeted one, and a guy was like,
"I see those frequently in your feed."
Well, and a guy responded was like, "Is it just always like this in Japan?" And I'm like, "Yes, they're just everywhere you go, Pikachu mascot.
Tori's on the subway.
Synchronized."
No one's even paying him to be there. He just shows up. Please leave.
I played so much Paperboy on Super Nintendo.
Whoa.
That's the only version I've ever played.
Another port of the arcade game?
Yeah, it was just standard Paperboy on Super Nintendo.
I played that game. That's like probably my top five most played NES games. Punch-Out. But I would get as close to the buildings as possible and then just try to break all the windows. That was the only way I played the game.
Was there a Game Boy one?
Probably.
Because I feel like I might have played a portable version. But I definitely played Super Nintendo.
Precision of that game is really crazy, and it's very unforgiving. And, when you're a kid, you don't care too much about what's going on. But if you're trying to play to win, you have to get every mailbox. And then if you don't, you lose subscribers, and it goes, day by day.
Yeah.
You just have to keep your subscribers based.
I like the little tone.
So difficult.
Like when you would hit or miss the houses, it would go, dee, 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 doon, 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 dee, doon, 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 doon. Yeah. I have a very vivid memory of that.
And they turn dark red.
Yep.
And then when you play it again, they were like a different colored house, right?
Yep.
Like those were out of it. And then there's, of course, the obstacle course at the end.
Yeah, so the houses that were red or that weren't on my route, I would just try to fuck them up as bad as possible. Mm-hmm. Just knock over all their trash cans.
And then there are
break their windows.
Houses. Like there's like a full-on haunted house.
Yep, there's the house with the tombstones out front.
Tombstones, that's great. Yeah. And you can get away in the street for a little while, but then a car will come.
It really makes me appreciate all the paper boys who deliver IGN's news every single day to all of our subscribers. Really. Unsung heroes.
Yeah, the head covering is he's wearing a backwards baseball cap, which I think you also wear in 720. So I didn't know if you get equipped up there. Which also takes place in a world you would recognize as Earth.
Yeah.
With killer bees.
Yeah, and it's like really the same engine and era and stuff like that. And it's like a medium res monitor, which is weird.
Yeah.
It just looks different than other games in the arcade. On home consoles, it all looks the same.
Yeah.
I think had handlebar controls in there.
In the arcade
full cabin. You know, video
Can you play it with the Wii Wheel?
I don't know if it ever came out of the Virtual Console, but you probably couldn't.
Time to bring Paperboy back.
True.
Well, how has there not been a Kickstarter to bring Paperboy back? Mm. Although, maybe it's going to be exclusive for the Atari box.
Yeah.
That actually is a pretty good
I don't know who.
Guess.
No one knows who owns the rights. It's impossible to unwind that stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, we know who developed it, but that individual probably doesn't own the rights to the game, so I don't know.
I always like the newspaper splash you got at the beginning and end.
Paperboy fired.
Yeah. How big is this town?
Yeah. It's also like the most meta thing if that's the newspaper headline.
Who delivered it?
Like, yeah, exactly.
ladies and gentlemen, we are only 2 weeks away from GameScoop 500. Ooh. Big celebration happening here in the IGN office. Someone asked me about how parking works around here. There's lots of street parking. Hopefully there's not a...
They can park at our house, too. If
they can also just park at our houses, yeah. No. The Giants, the playoffs would have started then, so we don't know if the Giants are playing that night.
God,
at this
hope
point.
There's not a Giants game.
Hopefully not, fingers crossed.
Just park north of the office and walk down.
Yeah, but in general, there's just lots of street parking around the office.
Even at, like, there's a giant parking garage at 5th and Mission, and then it's, what, a 15, 20-minute walk over?
Yeah, there's a
parking also park in another neighborhood. There's a lot of trains that come downtown.
Yeah, that's true, yeah. You can also just take the train in from wherever. Take the train in from the airport if you're flying in. Anyway.
If you're taking the train, take the BART, Montgomery Street BART station, and just walk out
straight
to the
office. Second.
Yep. It's a 15-minute walk.
You can even walk along the Embarcadero if you want to. If you've got time to spare.
Yeah. Great Pokemon there, too. It's like the best Pokemon spot in the city.
Stop at High Dive.
Stop it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, High Dive is
High Dive is a great little dive bar out there, yeah. Mm-hmm.
You can see seals swimming around in the harbor from there.
Yeah.
I really do recommend taking public transportation down here, unless you know have some kind of circumstance that makes it better for you to drive.
Yeah, that's a good call. All right, that is all the scoops that we have for you this week. Remember, you can always reach us at the email address, gamescoop@IGN.com. Thank you, Justin. Thank you, Andrew. Thank you, Sam.
Paperboy calls it quits.
My name is Damon. This is IGN Gamescoop, and we're out.
Through the airwaves. Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Burntwine, erstwhile monk-turned-traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Burntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.